We were learning yesterday about a person who's half a slave, and he's So what do we do with him? The end was we force the master to free the other half, because he can't get married when he's half a slave, because he can't marry another slave because he's half free, and he can't marry a free person because he's half a slave. So then we discussed this concept. The Gemara had assumed that how do you get someone who's half a slave and half free? Because he somehow managed to free half of himself. So we had this whole debate between Rebbe and the Chachamim about whether you could have a slave who's half free and half a slave, whether you can free half a slave or not. And then we had a double-barreled machlokes. So we had a brisa which said that Rebbe says, yes, you can free half a slave, and the Chachamim said you can't. And then we had two opinions about whether they argue Dafke talking about when it's in it with a contract that you can't do a half, because you're comparing it to the get of a woman, which can't be a half a woman, so therefore you can't do a half a slave. And whereas if he's freed by money, by being bought off or redeemed or whatever, then he could do it in halves. He could do half at a time. According to everybody, according to Rabbi Yosef, they argue also about money. That was the conclusion, right? So there was Rabba who said they argue only about when it's by shtar, but if it's with money, everyone agrees that you can do it in halves. And Rabbi Yosef who said that they argue about both. So that was what we talked about yesterday. And then in the end, we said in our Mishnah, which talks about a guy who's half and half, so we could say it's according to Rebbe, who holds he can do it half and half. And then Ravina said, the truth is our Mishnah can be going to everyone, because there's another circumstance altogether. Besides the circumstance where the master frees half of him, there's the circumstance where you have two partners who own a slave, and one of them frees him and the other one doesn't. So even if you say that you can't do a contract to free half a slave, but in that circumstance, each owner can definitely free his whatever he owns, because he's freeing everything. And therefore, that could be the other circumstance.
In that case, the slave may be fully enslaved to the remaining owner.
No, only for half. One day. For one. Only for one day out of two. They split, it's 50%. And then we would have the Mishnah, which says you force him to free the other half so he can get married, as we learned yesterday. Okay, back. So top of the page, Membeis Amud Aleph, the end of the first line, Omar Rabba. Rabba says, the machlekes, the argument between Rebbe and the Chachamim about whether a slave can be freed, you can free half a slave or not. Whether, according to Rabba, that machlekes is only with a contract, let's say. Yeah, is only, that argument applies only b'shashichra chetzei v'hiniyah chetzei. What he was attempting to do was free half the slave and keep the other half in servitude. Yeah, so therefore he's retaining half of it. So that doesn't work. Aval shichra chetzei u'mocha chetzei. But if what he's trying to do, the transaction is that he's trying to free half of him and he sells the other half, so from his perspective he is completely relinquishing control. Or he gave the other half away as a gift. Kaven de kenofik mine kula, since he is completely going out of his control, divrei hakol kana, everyone agree it works. Yeah, the logic of that, it would be fairly simple, because the whole idea why would the Chachamim say it doesn't work? Because it's like a get of a woman. Yeah, you can't get rid of half of your wife. But if the case is where he's getting rid of all of it, the fact that half of it's going to him and half's going somewhere else is not the relevant point. The relevant point is that the get has to be completely relinquishing control. Just like a get of a woman is completely relinquishing being the husband of that woman, so the get that he gives to the Eved has to completely relinquish the owner from being the owner. So as long as that happens, everyone agrees that it's okay.
But the actual get is only to give him his own freedom. The sale is not in that get. The sale, when he sells half, when he wants to free half and sell half...
No, he doesn't do it in the same contract, but at the same time.
Yeah. Simultaneously.
No, you'd have to say that he did it first.
Did which first?
Can't you simultaneously, yeah, 5 seconds before, yeah. It can't be instantaneously doing the sale. Yeah, it has to be that the sale happened first. Yeah. Okay, Rashi actually says that before. Yeah, okay. Oba basachas, Rashi says. Metchila oba basachas. How you could do basachas? You hand the two contracts. Here's a contract of sale and the contract of the slave, and you do it. 1, 2, 3, take. You could do it. Theoretically, you could do it instantaneously. Okay, Amalei Abaye. So Abaye says to Rabbah, Oba chule lo pligi. Even when he's relinquishing full possession, half to the slave and half to someone else, you're telling me that they don't argue? And the Chachamim don't say it doesn't work? The Hatoni Chada, but we have a whole situation where we have one brisa which says as follows: a case of the chos of the shnei avodim. A person has two slaves, and he wants to give his all of his possessions away. He's going to live on a desert island, or he's going to drop dead, or he's a tax scheme, whatever it might be. He wants to get rid of all of his assets so he can get the pension. So he writes all of his property. He wants to belong to these two slaves. The only problem is you can't give property to a slave, because as soon as the slave gets it, it goes back to you. Because Mashakana Evid Kana Rabbi. So what it means is he wants to free them as well. The Pashtos, yeah? So part of Kol Nechasov is the two slaves themselves. They are part of all of his property. Yeah? Is what happens? Kono, that works. So what happens then? Now you have two slaves, and they sort of own half of each other. Yeah? Because each one is now given the property, but they each one owns half of his property, including half of the other guy. It's Meshacher in Zezer. So then they have to free the other half. Each one frees the other half of the other one.
In other words, the half that's free...
Frees the slave half of the other guy, and the other guy's frees the slave half of this guy. Yeah. So that's Bryce number one. Vitanya, so that one is fine so far, because he's relinquishing complete control. Vitanya idach, we got a second brisa, which says ha'omer kol nechasai nisunim l'pleni u'pleni avdai, that I want to give all my possessions in this contract to, Tom and Jerry, my slaves. So it's kind of similar. It's the same effect. It's afatz m'loikonu. Not only they don't get the possessions, they don't get themselves either. So the first brisa basically says that it works, and the second brisa basically says that it doesn't work. Yeah, Rabbi, you just got through telling me that everyone agrees in this case that it would work, because since he's relinquishing complete control, it should work. But here we have one brisa says it works and one brisa doesn't work. How do you reconcile the two brisas? Is my love, isn't it, the answer to two brisas? Ha Rebbe, ha Rabbanon. That the same argument that Rebbe and the Rabbanon have in general about whether you can free half a slave or not applies even in this case. And therefore, the one that says it works is Rebbe, the one that says it doesn't work is the Chachamim. As Rabbah will answer your loy, no. Idi Rabbanon. I will tell you both of these brises are according to the Chachamim, and the Chachamim say that in general it doesn't work if you're leaving half of the slave for yourself. When does it work? When did the Chachamim say it works only if you're relinquishing complete control? So how does he reconcile the two brises? Hada Amar Kuloi. When he says that I'm giving all my possessions to my two slaves, then that's the one that works. Yeah. If he says I'm giving half my stuff to this one and half my stuff to that one, then it doesn't work. Yeah, because one of them had Rashi goes for a whole long thing over here. So if they gave it to them one after the other, it for sure doesn't work, because when he gave the first one, he was leaving the rest of them behind. Yeah, but even if he gave it to them, Bebasachas, Rashi says, it still doesn't work. Because since each contract only writes chatzin echosov, yeah, and therefore,
so in other words, if he's got one star that's just two people, that's a total disposal.
So if he wrote one contract that says 100% of my assets are given to Tom and Jerry, then that would work. But if he writes one contract that says 50% of my assets go to Tom and 50% of my assets go to Jerry, that would not work. That's what he's saying. Because in each one he only writes 50%, so who knows what's left behind, and therefore that's in the category of not relinquishing complete control when he writes the contract. So therefore it's not like the get of a woman where you do relinquish complete control. So that's how Rabbah will answer the brisa. Freddy Gemara, just a second. Lamidikatani Sefer. The second part of the brisa which says it did work, that first brisa, yeah, which says that it works, that brisa actually continues and says, but imomar chetzi chetzi loikon. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. So The second brisa that says if he wrote chetzi chetzi, it doesn't work. That if he does 50%, it doesn't work. So the brisa first says it doesn't work, and then it says if he wrote 50-50, it doesn't work. It's miklal deresha. So therefore, why does it repeat itself, sort of thing? Yeah, it starts off by saying it doesn't work, and then it says if it's 50-50, it doesn't work. It's miklal deresha. That means the first sentence that says it doesn't work is the amar kulay. Must be telling you that if he writes 100%, it doesn't work, and then the second sentence tells you if he wrote 50%, it doesn't work. Yeah. So the conclusion would then be that even if he writes 100%, it doesn't work. So Rabbi says, no, Pirushikam Afarish. That second sentence that tells you that if you did 50-50, it doesn't work, is not in addition to the first sentence, which you're telling me means that even if it's 100%, it doesn't work. It's explaining the first sentence, that Af Atzman Loikanu, that it doesn't work when he wrote that he's giving all of his stuff to Tom and Jerry, it doesn't work, and even themselves they don't acquire. And then you interpolate the following words. Ketzad, why doesn't it work? How is the case where it doesn't work? Says the Brisa number two. Kegoin d'omar chetzi chetzi. For example, if you said chetzi chetzi. So that's the second sentence is explaining what's the case in the first case.
For it to work, he has to say, I'm giving 100% to two people.
Correct.
As again saying, I'm giving...
50% to one. And then he writes, and then another contract, 50% to one. If you wrote one contract... That said, 50 to you and 50 to you, that probably works also, because that's doing it all.
The Lashon, when you look at the two braces, and then the other one says, Kol nechosa and nesunim leplonio plonio, there's not much difference between that.
Correct, so you have to interpolate.
Yeah.
Of course, if you're on face value, the braces are stira. They have to explain what's the difference. So Abaya said, well, probably a machlekes, but you remember coming. And Rabbi said, no.
There's an implied difference in language. That's what he said.
I don't know if it's the language or just stam. You have to say that because that's the halacha. Yeah?
If you give 100% to the two slaves, it's the same as giving 50% to one, 50% to the other.
Well,
so
it's not.
If you give 100% to both, they both own 50%.
Yes, but if you write in the two different contracts, 50% to him and 50% to him, because each contract is not giving... 100%. Therefore, those contracts are not valid.
You've got that in what do you call it in English law. You've got joint ownership, joint tenancy, and tenancy in common. You've got joint tenancy.
Yeah.
Each one has got a right to
their own. Right.
They're linked to each other. Whereas tenants in common, each one can deal with their own.
Yeah, but this way is more about the giver, not the receiver, though.
This is different.
Okay.
He's giving in what way is he giving? Is it you two own it jointly, and therefore you're linked, and you can't each do whatever you want?
Yeah.
Or each one you got half, and you can do each one you can do with your half.
That's different than that. If you give two slaves in one contract and say 100% to both of them, it's the same as 50% to one.
No, it's not, because if you write a contract that says 50%, that contract's not valid. So therefore you can...
But if you give 100% to both of them, they both have a 50% share.
That's the upshot of it. But the contract has to say, I'm giving away 100%. If the contract says I'm only giving 50%, it doesn't work. And then the Gemara says, you know what? It makes more sense that Rabba's correct, that the second sentence that says 50-50 doesn't work is explaining the first sentence, which just said stam, it doesn't work. Why is that logical? The Amar Kula, if the first sentence is telling you that when it's 100% it doesn't work, and the second sentence is telling you that when it's 50-50 it doesn't work, that second sentence is completely superfluous. Hashta Amar Kula Lekonu. Once you tell me that if it's 100% it still doesn't work, is Amar Chetzi Chetzi, my boy, you don't need to tell me that 50-50 doesn't work. If 100% doesn't work, 50-50 for sure doesn't work. Yeah, so therefore it must be that Rab is right, that it's explaining the first, it's all one thing and it's explaining. The Gemara says, that wouldn't prove that the first part is talking about, that is, the second part is explaining the first part is talking about 50-50. Because I can tell you that the first sentence is talking about 100%, and the second case is talking about 50%. Why does it have to then tell me 50% if it already told me 100%? Valtana Sefer L'Gluya Resha. Because you had to mention the 50% because the first sentence was left ambiguous, we need to chuck in the second sentence to tell me what we meant in the first sentence. In order that you shouldn't think that the first sentence is talking about where he said 50-50, but you would think that if it's 100% it works, because what Rabbi actually thinks. Therefore, Tana Sefer Damar Chetzi Chetzi. Therefore, he repeats that 50-50 doesn't work. Miklal Dereisha Damar Kula. It says that you would then infer that the first case is talking about when it's 100%. I feel a hockey like gone, and even so, it doesn't work. So he says he can't prove from the way the Bryce is structured that you're correct. We're not saying Rabba's wrong, but we're not saying you can't prove from the structure that he's right. This can't prove anything. Okay, so that's how Rabba would explain the brises. Then the Gemara goes on, boy Seima, if you want, you can reconcile the brises in a different way. And you can say, Loi Kasha, that Kam Bishtar Echot, the brisa which says it works, it's kind of similar to the 50-50 deal. The brisa that says it works is talking about where he puts it all in one contract, and Kam Bishnei Shtaris. And the second one, the other one, even if he did it all at once, but he wrote it in two contracts, it doesn't work. Is why, what's it so? Bishtar Echot, is if it's in one contract, is my Yirya Chetzi Chetzi. If you're telling me when it didn't work, is it because it's in two contracts and they don't have to say chetzi chetzi? Then the second part of the brisa that says it doesn't work doesn't have to say 50-50, because once it's two contracts, it's automatically 50-50. Yeah, is that feel I'm a cool enami like on even if he writes in the contract I'm giving all of my stuff, but he wrote it in two different contracts for the two different slaves, then that's the same thing. That also doesn't work because he's had two different contracts over here. So why do you have to bother mentioning that it's 50-50? So he says, Achinami Kamar, Afatzma Loi Kono. He says, it doesn't work. Bamed Varam Amurim Bishtar Echad. Oh, sorry, I said it backwards. When doesn't it work? No, I said it backwards. When he writes 100%, that will work even if it's in Shtushta, even if it's in two pieces, because he can't write to Tom and Jerry in one contract, because it has to be like a woman. You can't divorce two women with one contract. Right? So it's backwards. So what are we saying over here? As long as he writes 100%, even if he wrote in the two different contracts, he wrote the same thing. I'm giving 100% to Tom and Jerry, and 100% to Tom and Jerry, and he gives it to both of them, two different contracts. That will work. Yeah, but men's one morning bishtar echad, if it's in one contract. Sorry, when does it say af atzma loikon? The brayster which doesn't work is when it's in one contract. Why? Because the whole thing is learned from the get of a woman. Just like the get of a woman, you can't write a get that divorces two women. You can't write one contract that divorces two slaves.
But yeah? You know what? I can't give you a contract saying you've got 100% of my house, and give him a contract and say you've got 100%.
No. Each contract says that between the two of you, you're going to get it all. But he gives it into two different to the two different guys separately. He gives it two different paper. Both pieces of paper say the same thing. That he's giving all of it away. That he'll end up with this.
Giving the paper. That's how the kinyan is affected.
Yeah. I will be shnei shtaris kano. If he gives two different pieces of paper to the two different slaves, then it works. Yeah. But imam or chetzi chetzi. But if he writes 50% on each of the two contracts, then after shnei shtaris lamilei kano, that's not going to work either. So he has to write 100% on each of the two contracts. And they'll both contracts are the same thing, that I'm giving 100%, which collectively is going to Tom and Jerry. And he gives one to Tom and one to Jerry. Then it works. The Ibo Yisem, or another way of reconciling the prices, Leikasha, Kambe Basachas, Kambe Zeh Chazeh. When does it work? When he gives them both at the same time. When does it not work? When he gives one first and the other one later. Yeah, so the question is, okay, when you give one after the other, we say it doesn't work. Yeah, so the Gemara just wants to understand. Basra, like Connie, the second guy isn't going to get anything. Now, what do the two contracts say over here? Two contracts say I'm giving 100% to two people. Yeah, but the both contracts say the same thing. So why doesn't the second guy work? Because the Hakoni like Kama. Because since he gave a contract to Tom before he gave one to Jerry, then Tom gets the contract and he wins. So he's got
even though there's two names in that contract.
But the contract is bigger, his contract, yeah? So therefore he gets it all. And therefore one time he gives it to Jerry, it's too late for Jerry. Ela kama likni nafshe. Why doesn't Tom acquire himself? He's got a contract that says he's giving 100% away. So he's got his hand. But the two people, okay. But the other guy can't be koina with that because he's giving it to him. So why isn't he koina everything? Therefore, it's better to discard this last attempt and go back to the previous answers and not this one.
Before we go, in case I forget later, on Tuesday, are you aligning the shield with the 7 million? Because I think Mendelssohn wants to make a 6:15.
No.
Are you coming at 7 o'clock?
Definitely coming later. This will be like Sunday schedule. Same as today. Yeah. Ravashi Omar. Ravashi says, Shiny Hossam. Ravashi tries to reconcile the prices. If you look in the Brises, the first one says Akesin Uchasa Lishnei Avodov. He doesn't. So what does he do? He writes in the contract, I'm giving my property, even though the Brises says to his two slaves, but he doesn't write in the contract my two slaves. He just writes Tom and Jerry. So then it works. In the second one, he writes Avodai, my slaves, Tom and Jerry. Yeah. So when he writes in it, my slaves, then it doesn't work. Yeah. The first one works because he didn't call them slaves. But the second one, because he called them slaves, so that implies that he's not fully giving them away. He's still calling them slaves even after he gives them the contract. And therefore, it's not a proper cutting off of control. It's Amar Le Rav Ravashi. Rav, I'm from just Ravashi. What do you mean? He says, I'm giving 100% to Tom and Jerry. Who cares if he calls them slaves? What does he mean when he writes slaves? If he's giving them 100% and he's freeing them, just because he wrote in there, Tom and Jerry, my slaves, what he means is that they have been my slaves till now. It doesn't mean they're continuing to be the slaves, otherwise the whole sentence doesn't make sense. V'dilma, therefore, perhaps, avodai means shahayu kvar. It means my slaves who were already my slaves. Who were my slaves before. Not that they're slaves still. Midlaitznan, don't we have another example of this type of language in the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Hakesiv kol nechasov la'avdoi, someone who writes a star that all his property is given to his slave, the slave goes free. Shear karka kol shehu, if he left behind a little bit of land, that means it's not 100% deal over here. So then all bets are off. That doesn't help on the slave, because you would say, just like he gets the land, just like he's leaving behind the land, maybe he's leaving behind the slave as well. And Reb Shimon says you've got to look at exactly the words. And don't worry about the accept clause of the contract. La'olam hu ben chayrim, and it always will work, and he'll be free. That doesn't work if he writes, I'm giving everything to Tom, my slave, except for 1/10,000th of my property. Because he doesn't specify which 1/10,000th of the property it is, it could be that 1/10,000th includes part of the slave. And therefore, you have to assume the whole thing doesn't work. If he says, accept a piece of land, so we know that a block of land is not Tom, because Tom's a person, not a piece of land, even though avodim are compared to land. So therefore, Reb Shimon says that works. But even Reb Shimon says, Taima da Omar, when does it not work? When he said, Chutz me'echad miribe shebehen. If he excludes 1/10,000th of it, then you have to be worried that maybe that 1/10,000th is the slave. But halo yomar hachi. But if he didn't say chutz, he didn't make any exceptions. He says, I'm giving everything to Tom, my slave. Full stop, and hands it over. It's Connie. Both the Tanakhama and Reb Shimon would agree that it works. Because they're only arguing about when he says, accept this, accept that, then there's a whole debate. But if he doesn't write accept anything, then it works. Even though he used the word avdi. Yeah, why should it work according to you? Amai, v'ha'evet k'karile, he calls him avdi. According to your logic, Rav Ashi, the fact that he writes my slave should mean that he's not completely relinquishing and it shouldn't work. Ella, but what do we see? That both the Tanakhama and Reb Shimon say it does work, because when he wrote Avdi Shahaya Kfar, that's his way of identifying which Tom am I talking about. Tom, my slave, meaning the one who's till now my slave. And now he's going to be free, but till now he's my slave. It's Hachanami. Yeah, so therefore also it means Avodah in the other Brisa where he says he writes it all stuff to Avodah. It means Shahayu Kvar, it means the ones who were till now my slaves. So therefore it doesn't prove anything from that language. Yeah. If you talk, it's like saying if someone's a Brownlow medalist, or is he a former Brownlow medalist? What do you mean? If he won it 10 years ago, he's still a Brownlow medalist. He can't be a former Brownlow medalist. Yeah. Yeah. They call him Mr. President. Yeah, they don't call him Mr. Former President. Yeah, so when you still call him that, you still call him President Clinton, because that means that he was the president. Doesn't mean he's president right now. Yeah. No. Okay. So the better example, like Dave Feiglin, right? Dave Feiglin is still president. No. Okay. Moving on. Okay, so that's the end of that whole discussion. Now, so still continuing with the guy, so we've established that there are circumstances where you can get someone who's half a slave and half a free man. And going back to continue on what we talked about the Mishnah, we talked about that he works one day for himself and one day for the master. And then we said we forced him to free him. But Kol Zman, he didn't free him yet. Kol Zman, he hasn't been freed. So in theory, there's half, one day he works for himself and the other day he works for the owner. Now, the Brisa says further, Nogchay Shor. What happens if a slave is gored by an ox? So if he's a full-fledged slave, and the ox damaged him, he didn't kill him, he just caused some damage. So if he's a full-fledged slave, who gets the money from the damages? The owner. What if he's half slave and half free? Is it, so it depends on when he, what day it was when he was gored. The proverbial, depends what day you ask me. Yeah. If it was Yom Shel Rabbi, if he was gored on the day when he happened to be owned by the master and working for the master, is the rabbi. So it's just the profit, if you like, the money that he gets from being damaged, the damages that he gets, it goes to the master. If it was Yom Shel Atzmo, if it happened to be on the day when he was doing his own thing, because that was his free day, is Atzmo. So then it's as if he was a free person and he gets paid the damages to him.
On the owner's day, he couldn't get less and the money goes to the owner.
Who?
On the day that goes to the owner, he couldn't kill us.
That day I'm free. I mean, he's basically a slave one day and free the next day in sequence.
The day that the master gets the money,
yeah,
he wouldn't care less whether it's the compensation or not.
Who? The Eved?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Eved wouldn't get anything.
Why would he care?
So the Gemara asked, wait a second. Ella Meyato, if that's the case, is Yom, if Kibamish is saying not only financially that he work, if that he works one day for the master and works for one day for himself, but also if there's damages in the Zikin, you know, if it's on the master's day, the master gets. So that means in all aspects, you seem to be saying that he's a slave on this day and he's free on the other day. Monday slave, Tuesday free. Wednesday slave, Thursday free. If that's the case, it's Yom Shel Rabbi Yisur Shivcha. That means on Monday he should be able to marry a maid because at that day he's an Eved. And Yom Shel Atzma Yisur Baschem. What's your whole problem? He can't get married. Why don't you let him get married on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays? He'll be married to Isabella the slave, and Tuesday, Thursdays, and Shabbos, he's married to Chayamushka the free lady. Yeah, if he's mamish, your mamish demarking it like that. So the Gemara answers this: Surah Kalei Kamrinon. No, we're talking about even the damages is still a financial thing. In financial matters, we can say one day it's easy to split. That one day it's the master's financial benefit, and one day it's his financial benefit. But when you come to Isurim, the Isur of marrying a slave, or the Isur of a slave marrying a free woman, you can't make the Osur one day and Mutter the next day. Today you're allowed to marry her, tomorrow you're not allowed to marry her. We can't split like that, and therefore you can't compare. And therefore it doesn't happen.
See, if they're talking in the interim until you do what the Mishnah says and free them entirely,
yeah.
L'chayr, they can ask the same question, which day is the Chayr, what mitzvahs?
Yeah, the Chayri, you could ask the same question, yeah. Okay, Toshima, let's see if we can get to the bottom of this. It says in the Braisa, what happens if this ox gored him and killed him? So the din is that an Eved, if an ox kills an Eved, there's a flat rate of 30 bucks, 30 shkolim, that he pay to the owner. And if he kills a regular person, he has to pay a koifer. But koifer is dependent on how much the person's worth. Yeah, so the difference between killing a slave and killing a person. So what are we going to say? According to the previous logic, you would have said it depends on what day he kills him. But the Braisa doesn't say that. The Braisa says, Noisin chatzi knas the rabbi. So what he does is that 30 bucks that would have been if he's a slave, he gives the half of 30 bucks, so 15 bucks he gives to the master, turn the page, and for his part, you don't make it 30 bucks, you evaluate how much he's worth, and half of that, but he only gets half of that, and it goes to the Yorshim. So again, you're splitting it. You're not saying depends what day it was. You're splitting it. Why are you splitting it? And treating half of him as a slave and half of him as a free man is achinami. Here also, lema, why don't we say, Yom Shel Rabbi the Rabbi, if he was killed on the day that he happened to belong to the master, then it should go completely 30 bucks to the master. And Yom Shel Asma, just like in the case of damages, you said it depends on what day it happens. In the case where the guy's killed altogether, then that also should depend on what day it happened. If it happened on a slave day, it goes 30 bucks to the master. If it happened on a free day, then it's a normal koifer of his full value, and it goes to his inheritors. The Gemara Rashi promises that later we're going to ask where he gets inheritors. How does a slave have Yorshim? That's a separate question. How can a slave have Yorshim? So the Gemara answers, Shani Hacha. It's different when he's killed. Because when he's killed, he could call your karna. The principle is destroyed. In the case where he's working one day and one the other, they were not talking about the principle. The principle still belongs half to each, even on the other day. But we're talking about the income, the value that is got, that is obtained from the asset. So in that, we say one day master, one day slave. Yeah, but the principle is that all days 50-50. Even on the day that he's working for the master, 50% of the principle still belongs to the slave, and viki virki. And therefore, when he's killed, it's a complete destruction of principle here. And that's what the penalty is paying, and therefore, on doesn't matter what day it is, the principle is 50-50, and therefore he pays half to the owner and half to the slave. Okay, so the Gemara asks, one second. So what is it that there's no destruction of principle? So if he's dead, obviously it's destruction of principle. When a bull somebody, yeah. So what are you telling me? That in that case there's no destruction of principle? Now the hechadom of local kalya karna. How do you have a situation where the bull gored him and he's injured to the extent that there has to be paid damages, yeah? So that damage, l'chaira, is... If the damage is permanent, that's also principle. It's not 100% of the principle, but it's some principle, yeah? So the Gemara wants to know, how do you get where where the bull damaged him, the loika kol yakarna didn't destroy any principle? So he says, kigoyin, for example, sheiko wa yodoy, vitzamsa yodoy, v'soifu lachzer. Yeah? So this, let's say it's talking about a person. We're not talking about an ox doesn't go up and hit somebody like that. Right? A person goes up and hits him, gives him a whack on the hand, and the hand, somsa means it became farfetched, yeah? And so it's wounded, but it's temporary. His hand is wounded, so he can't work for a while. But so for lachzer, eventually he'll come back. So there's damage to the income, but there's no damage to the principal, because it will eventually heal. Yeah, so he says, that's the case that we're talking about. So Gemara says, Hanich leman labaya, that's all well according to Abaya. The Omar, we're talking about a case now, we've switched from ox to people, yeah? Because with people, we know there are five types of damage. When one person damages, hits the other guy, so he pays damage and he pays idle time. So it's like work cover, yeah? Well, he pays him for the fact that he can't earn any money that time, and he pays the doctor's bills and all these sorts of things. Yeah, the five things. Is according to Abaya, the Omar, he says, Noisin l'shevis gedoy, l'shevis ketana. He says there's two types. When you work out nezek, what's the damage? So normally, so you could say, what's the difference between damage and idleness? Yeah? So, bepashtus, damage is that how much is a guy worth? Well, he can't work, therefore he's worth less than he was before. But you're also paying for his lack of income money because he can't work. So you're sort of double dipping there. So Bias says, no, there's two different things. There's one thing, because if you try to sell this guy on the market, yeah, and he's not available for 6 months till he heals, yeah, you'd get a cheaper price than if he's available right now. So even though in principle it's going to be eventually 100% fine, but because of that, not only is there a 6 months of lost income, but there's also a destruction of principle at the same time, because you'd get a cheaper price for him when you sell him. So therefore, that's called Shevis Gedoyla, the big idle time, and Shevis Kitana, the small amount. So there's the lack of wages plus the reduction of the value. It's Shapir, so that's what we're talking about. According to Rava, when he only gives, if he's going to completely heal, there's no such thing as principal destruction over here. Yeah, we're only talking about where he pays him each day what he's not going to work, which is Shevis, what's called Shevis, which means the fact that he can't earn any money today. Yeah, the work cover. So that's all. Yeah, the same word. Yeah, so that's talking about when a person damaged another person. But if you go back to our case of the ox, hi Sheru, this person is an ox we're talking about, yeah? Sure, and a Mishalim of the Nezek. An ox never pays Shevis. The whole concept of paying for lost wages is only when one person damages another. If an ox damages somebody, there is no concept of lost wages. Yeah, so therefore, according to Robert, there'd be no damage at all. So if you're talking about the ox, he could, but he doesn't. Right? There's no halacha that he has to. So therefore, according to Rava, how do you get a case of where there is damage and there's no loss of principle. If there's no loss of principle, then there is no damage. So what are you going on? How can you? It's either all or nothing. The answer is a Gemara. Either we'll say that Rava will tell you that whole thing about that whole discussion we had was not talking about an ox, it was talking about a person. Or I can tell you this whole thing that we started with, where we asked Akasha, what's the pshat, why is it so, was not a brice at all. It was just somebody saying it, an amayra. Or memra, the Rava, the Sirle. Rava's not obligated to listen to a word of another amayra, and Rava says, I don't agree with it. Full stop. Okay. Now we have it, so we're finished now with the half and half. And now we're not finished with him, but we've finished discussing about who gets the value. And now we have a different question. The question was, Ma'ukav get shichur, the guy who doesn't have a get yet. In other words, he's in a situation where it's pending, yeah, that we're kofinei, so we're going to force the master to give him the get, but he hasn't given it to him yet. Yeah, or the guy who the master made him hefker, so he said he still needs to get a get shichur, even though he's going free, but he hasn't got the contract yet. So a guy, he's in this middle state where he's going to be free, but he hasn't got the document yet. So is he still considered a slave technically or not? Yes, they knas, and therefore, if an ox killed him, does the owner still get the fine of 30 bucks and the knas or not? Is he still considered technically a slave or not? Do we say, Kesef Shleshim Shkolim Yitin Ladonav Omrachman? The Pasuk says, 30 bucks he gives to the master. V'hai Lav Odenhu, this guy's no longer the master, because he's on the way out. Oy Dilma, or maybe Kevin the Mechusa Get Shichur, since he hasn't handed over the contract of freedom yet, is Oden Karinabe. We would still call him technicality as a master. Is Toshima. So we're going to try to work it out from this brisa. Hey, Mis Mishachetzi Avedu Chetzi Mechayrin. If the guy kills, the ox kills somebody who's half a slave and half free, is Noisin Chatzi Knas the Rabbe V'Chatzi Koyfu LeYoshev. That means he gives, we said this before, he gives the half to the master and half to him. Yeah, is my love, and isn't that Kimish Tachreni, even according to the end of the Mishnah, where Bez Hillel agreed that we're forcing him to free him. So he is in that state where he's going to be free, but hasn't got the piece of paper yet. And we see that the master gets half. So the technicality is that he is still a slave. Answers the Gemara Loi, Commissioner Rishonah. We can say that's talking about Bez Hillel's first view, where we don't force him. We don't force him, so then obviously he's still half a slave. Toshima, we'll try again. So we know that if the master whacks the slave and damages and knocks out one of his limbs, so the slave goes free. So what happens if he did both? He did two. First, he gave him a double smash, and he knocked out his tooth. So as soon as he knocked out his tooth, the slave is entitled to go free. But then, just for good measure, he knocked out his eye as well. Yeah. So what happens? So he can't go free because he's already free from the tooth. So he goes free because of the tooth. The noisin de mayenoi. And now he's a free guy who he owes him money for his eye, like normal, damaging someone's eye. But Iomarta Yeshle Knasa Knasta Rabba, if you say that until he gets the star, the contract of freedom, he is still considered a slave, and the technicality is that the master gets the knas. Is hashta chavli ba'achrina yo'avele the rabbi. That means if while he's in this limbo state, where he's entitled to go free but doesn't have the contract yet, you're telling me that if someone else came and damaged him, the knas would belong to the master. Is chavl be'rabbi gufe, if the master himself damaged him by knocking out his eye now, yo'avele the day, he has to pay the evid? Doesn't make sense. Yeah.
When he's yoitze b'shem v'ayin,
yeah,
does it still have to be a shtar?
Oh, so that Gemara answers Dilma. Maybe the answer is Kamandomer and Etzorich. Maybe the reason why is because it's according to the person who says you don't need a shtar. It's a machlekes. If someone who's whacked on the limb, whether he needs to actually get a contract or not, it could be that it's automatic without a contract. So according, if you hold that he automatically goes free, you don't need a contract. That's why it goes to the value of his eye goes to him. The Tanish, we learned in a braisa, b'chulon eved yoitze ben lecherus, in all of the cases where we've talked about, then eved b'chulon means in all of the limbs that are mentioned as being rasha yevorim, yeah, it's described in Masecht Negoyim regarding when can a person get a tzaras, but it's the same limbs, yeah. So all of those limbs, an eved yoitze ben lecherus, if it was amputated by their master, the slave goes free. But he still needs a document, and he still needs the piece of paper to make him officially free. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rav Meir Omer, ein tzarich. Rav Meir says he doesn't need a piece of paper. That's good enough. He's free already. Rabbi Lezer Emer, Tzarech Rabbi Lezer says he doesn't need a piece of paper, and Rabbi Tarfon Emer, Ein Tzarech Rabbi Tarfon says he doesn't need. There's a whole big brawl here. Rabbi Akiva Emer, Tzarech, and Rabbi Akiva says you do. Hamachriel Lifnei Chachamim, the people who give their deliberating vote before the Chachamim, we don't know who that is, Rashi says. Somebody who was known as those who deliberate before the Chachamim, Maimrim, they said, Nir and Dir of Tarfon, Beshein, Ve'ayin. They say, if it's an eye and a tooth, Mamish, those two examples, we agree with Rav Tarfon that he doesn't need a piece of paper. Because it's mefurish in the Torah. The only two that are mentioned clearly in the Pasuk are the tooth and the eye. So he says, the things that are in the Torah, that itself is the contract. The Torah said, if you knock out the tooth and the eye, he goes free. That's a shtar shikr. Yeah, but other things that are not mefurish, Jiva Rabbi Akiva says he does need a shtar, is b'sha'arei varim, all other limbs, hoil b'knas chachamim, because it's only a punishment from the rabbis. Freyli Gemara knasu? What do you mean? It's not a punishment, even though it's not mentioned mefurish, but it's not midrabanan, it's midaraisa. Kroy kodashin to learn now from sukim. So it's all min ha-toira. So why should he need a contract for the other ones any more than for the tooth and the eye? So he says, no. Ela ema hoyel medrash hachamus. This is only learned from medrash. In other words, the Torah itself is considered the contract. By medzvarim amurim, the things that are written clearly in the Torah, the things that are only learned out from other psukim but not mentioned specifically, like the tooth and the eye, there's no contract for the other things. It's just learning, and therefore that needs the contract. Okay, you boil the hoo and a stop or not? Okay, we will continue tomorrow.